Well, Christianity's claim to be right, its claim to be true, its claim to be the only way to God has long offended people. And our pluralistic society increasingly finds this claim to be narrow-minded and absurd, if not dangerous and socially divisive. How on earth can Christians be so intolerant and unwelcoming? Because after all, how many religions are there in the world? Give me a number.
636.
I thought, 666. That would be a more interesting answer. Approximately 4,300. How many gods and goddesses are there in the world? Any offers? Millions. How many millions? More than 320 million. Most of which are probably Hindu gods. What about adherents? Here are the those religions and faiths that have over 100 million adherents. The next one is Sikhism, if you're wondering where that is. That's just below the 100 million. I imagine that non-religious secular one will be growing as time goes on. And we would recognise that there are some commonalities between those belief systems, wouldn't we? There is the whole question of faith, something or someone to believe in. And as we know, the sort of the atheism heading is just as much a belief in a belief system as Christianity or Islam. So faith's a commonality. We might say that sort of sincerity is a commonality. You need to believe what you're believing. But of course, to be sincerely wrong is still to be sincere and wrong. So although that's a sort of a common expression, it's not necessarily something that helps us particularly. Someone said to me over drinks some minutes or two ago, well, of course, love would be a commonality. The encouragement of good works and looking out for others. Even Arsene was talking about that in terms of the old Soviet system. Social concern. Many religions would promote prayer. But obviously, the one to whom one prays would be very different. Spirituality would be a sort of a catch-all word, wouldn't it? That we would see as something common. So, in that sort of mix of things, and in those numbers, out of a world population of 7.6 billion, if 2.1 billion come under the heading of Christian, although I think many of us here would think that is far too generous and large a number and wouldn't be very happy with the way in which they got to it. Let's just live with that for the moment. That means that while Christianity is over 60%, there's still over a third who are not included, who are excluded by Christianity. So where do they fit in then? Well, for many people, this has been a very popular and favourite image. Different paths, different ways up Faith Mountain. And everyone's got their own path and their own way, but essentially we're all heading in the same direction. We're all going to the same destination. Now, we may have a slightly different name for that destination, but we're all sort of on the way there. And if that is your view, then you'll have been very encouraged by the recent words of the Bishop of Manchester, who said that, of course, all faiths lead us to God. But there are many contradictions between these different faiths, aren't there? Some tell us there is no God. Atheism, Buddhism. Some tell us there's one God. Islam or Judaism. Christianity says We believe in a Trinity. One God, three persons. Hinduism says there are many gods. So, how do we live with those contradictions? Some believe in reincarnation. Some believe in a judgment and a calling to account. Some believe there's absolutely nothing. We eat, drink, and be merry, and then we die. That was Ian Botham some years ago. Some believe you get to where you get to because of your good works. You get what you deserve. You earn your way to whatever it is, that destination that you think. Some of you will remember a singer-songwriter called Yusuf Islam, who was previously known as... There you are, you see. And you'll remember he sang what I've always found to be a very amusing line. Two men say they're Jesus, one of them must be wrong. And we could paraphrase that in what we're thinking about now, couldn't we? All these religions, all these faith expressions could be wrong. But they can't all be right because of these and other contradictions. But looking at this from a Christian perspective, there's one absolutely crucial difference on which everything hangs. Because Christianity is not a belief system. Christianity is not a manifesto. It's not a mantra. It's not a list of rules. Christianity is all about one person, the person of Jesus. Christians are nothing more nor less than his followers. So, if you're going to look at this from a Christian perspective, you've got to look at the person of Jesus. You've got to consider the claims he made. You've got to consider what he did. So here's something Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's in John's Gospel, chapter 14. So let's be clear what Jesus is and isn't saying. He's not saying, I am one of many ways up Faith Mountain. He's not saying, I am one of many truths that will bring you to that destination. He's not saying, I am one of many who can give you life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's making an exclusive claim about who he is and about what he can do. No one comes to the Father except. There's only one point of entry. There's only one way. And Jesus says, it's through him. Now, you may want to dispute the gospel narrative. You may want to dispute the very existence of Jesus. But we're not dealing with those questions tonight. We may pick those up on a future occasion. But rather than looking to those, why not take Jesus and what he said seriously? You might want to take issue with him because you think, what sort of human being would possibly make that sort of a claim? He must be a megalomaniac. Surely he's suffering from some delusory illness. Or maybe he's just evil out to deceive people. Certainly there were plenty who heard him who reached those conclusions. But I want to say to you tonight, you've got to look at the person of Jesus. Look at what he claimed about himself and see if that matches up with what else we read about him. Now, at the moment on Sunday evenings, we're looking at John's account of Jesus' life. And we're seeing exactly the match-up between what he does and what he says. And so we'll be carrying on with that next Sunday, so why not come next Sunday evening to hear the next instalment? Or if you'd like to take something away with you, we've got some DVDs of a guy called Rico Tice talking about Jesus from John's Gospel. So they're on the table on your way in. We pass them on the way in. Do just take one of those and watch, listen as you're able to. Because it's all about the person of Jesus. It's all about who he claimed to be. So make sure that you get that right. Let's look at what one of Jesus' closest followers said. This is what Peter said. He said it in public. He said it in Jerusalem, not long after Jesus had been crucified in that same city and in front of the very people who had condemned Jesus to death. Peter said, "There's no salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Peter stands by the claim Jesus made. And you'll notice he goes on to say, we haven't made this up. This is a given. God gave this name, this person, this Jesus to be the rescuer, the salvation that we all need. Christianity then is about a person. It's all about what Jesus claimed. But secondly, it's also about what Jesus did. And the particular thing that Jesus did we're going to focus on is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. The first thing we notice is that we have a good idea when a number of the great philosophical thinkers and religious leaders of our world died. We even know where some of them are buried. But nobody has claimed that Confucius or Muhammad or Marx rose from the dead. That claim has only been made about Jesus, which is why there is no tomb to visit. And what's all the more remarkable about that is that Jesus said he would rise from the dead. On a number of occasions in the Gospels, Jesus tells his followers that they're going to Jerusalem because there he's going to die at the hands of the religious leaders and be crucified. And on each occasion he concludes by saying, "And I will rise from the dead." He, Jesus, Son of Man, I will be raised on the third day. Now, predicting your death may not be too difficult. Predicting that Jesus would die in Jerusalem at the hands of religious leaders may not be too difficult because he knew what buttons to press. He knew they were hostile towards him. He knew they were out to kill him. So that would be no great surprise, would it? But to predict you're going to rise from the dead, that's a different thing entirely. You're risking everything on what is clearly an outlandish and a ridiculous claim. But Christianity is all about this person, this Jesus, who claimed he was the only way to God and claimed he would rise from the dead, which he did. Jesus is unique. He is the difference between Christianity and all other faiths and philosophies that are believed around our world. And Christians say what they say and believe what they believe because of his claims and because of his resurrection. So, do I believe that Christianity is right? Yes, I do. Do I believe that Christianity is the only way to God? Yes, I do. And if you want, in a pluralistic and tolerant age, to say that's arrogance, then you may do that. But what I want to say to you as we finish is to tell people about this Jesus is actually the only loving thing to do. Imagine somewhere in our world there is a group of scientists who have discovered a cure for Alzheimer's. But because, on the one hand, they don't want to appear arrogant, on the other hand, they don't want to discourage others who are doing similar research, they decide not to make their findings known. They decide to use what they've discovered just for their friends and their families. Now, knowing how many people suffer from Alzheimer's, that's not a very loving thing to do, is it? Yes, they may appear arrogant to some by saying, "We found the cure to Alzheimer's." But the loving thing to do is to make that cure available for everybody, isn't it? To bring hope to millions. And because Jesus is the only hope for humanity's problem of sin and selfishness and rebellion against God, not to pass that good news on, not to talk about him and his claims and what he achieved, would be the most selfish and unloving thing we could do. The loving thing to do is to point people to the one person who can deal with their problem. Not to say, "Oh, I can't really be bothered. I don't want to sort of upset you. I don't want to disturb what you're already thinking. I don't want to stop you from trying to find your own way in some other path." Everybody deserves to know that they can find sins forgiven. Everyone needs to know that there's a secure identity waiting for them in Jesus, and that there's a welcome in Jesus, both now and in eternity. All because Jesus was who he said he was, claimed what he claimed, and did what he did. So Christians must say that Jesus is the only way to God, because that's what he said, and by his resurrection, that's what he proved to be the case, and thus holding out hope to our world.